have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Because somebody else needs to hear my testimony. I'm gonna hold on to his word. Hello, hello, hello. Once again, I want to say thank you, give thanks and honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to my good friend, Ms. Kimmy Robinson, and Elation Radio for allowing me to come and to share with you in this evening. I have a lesson, a message that I would like to share with you on today. It is our position in Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for this wonderful and marvelous day that you have made. We thank you for watching over us and keeping us, and most of all, providing all of our needs. I pray that you will bless this hour, that our hearts will be able to receive and to attain what you have for us on this day. It's in the wonderful and marvelous name of Jesus the Christ that we pray this prayer and ask your wonderful blessings. Amen. Our position in Christ. We have a living hope that we will have an eternal future with Jesus in heaven one day. And with this, our hope, we must strive to live each day to be more and more like him. Before we are able to even begin to enjoy a relationship with the Lord, there are some things that must take place. Part of the message today is that we must be set apart. Set apart for God. What does set apart for God look like? What do that mean? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it helps us with that. And Peter reminds us exactly what it means to be set apart. In the scripture, reading from the King James Bible, Scofield edition, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany. There's a key word in this all, and it says elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. When we talk about being set apart, there has to be a biblical foundation, and that foundation is not established because of something that we do or have done or doing. It is because of the foreknowledge of God, and it says that in the scripture. Of believers no longer participate in the pagan activities of their society. This is during the time of Peter, the group of people that he was writing this letter to, was accustomed to living a certain kind of way. And I appreciate how God used Peter to speak to us and to inform us so that we will understand and realize that when we talk about pagan activities of their society, there's clearly some things that go on in our society here today that we consider to be a pagan activity. We are talking about us being set apart for some work that God has called us to do. We have been set apart to be delivered and saved. Y'all, excuse me. Give me a few minutes. I'll catch up with myself. In Acts 10, It says, I will rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open up their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the powers of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is God's word and how he is operating in our lives. Peter wrote this epistle of 1 Peter to Christians scattered around in Asia Minor. These new Christians discovered that their commitment to Christ separated them from the culture in which they lived. And again, we're living in a society today where we are challenged as well, that when God sets us apart, he delivers us from the snares of Satan. He delivers us from the hands of Satan and puts us in a position to where we are able to receive some special benefits that he has for us. Talk about our culture. There are some places that we used to go. There are some things that we used to do. There are some ways of thinking that we no longer think that way. Our hearts have been transformed. Our hearts have been changed. Peter also addresses his readers as chosen. This term is filled with theological significance. I don't know about you, when I first found out that I was chosen, it put me in a position of words that I began to wonder, chosen to do what? Chosen for what reason? For what purpose? I didn't see any good in myself because of the life that I was living outside of Christ. But this word chosen, this the theological significance, it relates to a Christian's self-identity as well. Let me repeat that. It relates to a Christian's self-identity. And when we talk about a Christian self-identity, that lets me know that I'm no longer the man that I used to be. In the Old Testament, God made it clear that his people were chosen, verse 13. Elect is also often described as Christian. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 33, reminds us of that as well. And Peter used it in reference to the church, which is made up of God's people. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Given a divine perspective of the word emphasizes that salvation is much more than a human choice. God also chose us. This is why I say that this had nothing to do with you and I. When I read the word and study and run across the word like foreknowledge, I want to dig in there and to find out what exactly foreknowledge means and how do that apply to us. Being chosen and set apart is based on God's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is God's ability to know in advance how people will act. It's almost telling us that God knew from the beginning of time that you and I, those that are considered to be believers, that we will accept what he would put before us. He already knew that we was going to love one another the way that he has instructed us to love one another in the Bible. I can't tell if y'all can hear me, but I wish I could hear some amens and some laws that would help me in what I'm saying here today. But just in case I'm not getting it, and if you hear me out there, I want you to know that God knew in advance that you and I was going to accept the free gift of salvation. He knew in advance that you and I was going to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I get excited about things like that. I get excited just knowing that it was him that chose me. I oftentimes used to wonder why I was doing some things that I was doing. I often wonder why I was in such a dark place in the early part of my life. And I wondered why God would put me in a position that he allowed me to be in throughout my life, knowing that I had been set apart and that he had this foreknowledge. But again, I believe that God is using us and equipping us and molding us and shaping us to be the people that he called us to be. Foreknowledge is God's ability to know in advance how people will act and respond to him and his call in our lives. It is also God's ability to establish a personal relationship with people in view of the choices he knows that we will make in our lives. God, the Holy Spirit, plays a very, very important role in our lives. And without God playing a role in our lives, I don't believe that we are able to do the things that we are doing today. It is God that calls us. It is God that brings us up out of that muck and that mire. It is God that allows us to be able to see and to come from the darkness to the light. It is God and his foreknowledge and his ability to know into in advance how you and I will respond to him without violating a human right to free choice and free will. This foreknowledge emphasizes God's desire to know us. This is in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. The Holy Spirit wrote, y'all, I'm not trying to lose you, but I'm talking about our position in Christ. The Holy Spirit wrote, Peter shares with us in 1 Peter, the way God sets believers apart for salvation comes through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That lets me know that God loves us so much that he allowed it to be embedded in us to help us to travel this tedious journey that causes us to wonder and ask ourselves over and over and over again, what is this? How can this be? Who is this that is making me say amen when I really don't want to say amen? What is this that causes me to say thank you, Lord, when I really don't feel like saying thank you, Lord? The Holy Spirit communicates God's call to us, and in so doing, he sets us apart to salvation. Salvation is very, very important for a Christian. It brings us, or being set apart is purely an act of God's Spirit enabling us to come to Christ. Peter describes as much the same thing in the epistles as Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Even though the Corinthian church was problem-ridden and carnal, it was still set apart for God's purpose. Jesus, the Son, plays the role. Peter helps us to understand that without Jesus Christ, Peter describes humans' responsibility, which is necessary to be obedient to Christ. While we must often think of obedience as necessary qualities of a Christian life, here Peter spoke it as necessary ingredient for conversion. Without Jesus Christ, there is no conversion. My brothers and sisters, it is God that calls us. The Holy Spirit keeps us. But ultimately, it is Jesus that saves us. And after these things have been put in place and this process has begun, we are now being reconciled, 10 through 20, and Romans chapter 9, verse 11, helps us with this. It tells us if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? That's in Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Matter of fact, excuse me, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. God, when he began to call us, and again, we're talking about our position in Christ. It is God that starts the good work in us. And remember, it's God that is going to finish that good work. God seeks and desires reconciliation to us. Now, it's not that God done something wrong. It's all about us. We were born into sin. We once was lovers of sin. It didn't matter who you were or who you are or where you come from. According to the scripture, it says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad when I study and read and learn these lessons and I begin to see and my eyes are open because I'm now seeing as humans, we like to blame others for our problems. And I did that for quite a few years in my life. I wanted to blame somebody else for me being like this or me being like that or having this problem or having that problem. I didn't want to take that responsibility on my own. I was sinning every day and had no idea what I was doing and how rebellious I was against God. But I wanted to blame, put that on someone else. The scriptures affirm the absolute holiness of God and the continual sinfulness of humans. It teaches that God wished for all persons to be holy and desired that all be reconciled to him. This is God and his position with us. I know sometimes the preachers or bishops may tell us to come and give our lives to him, or some may even say that I found the Lord and he did this and he did that, but he has never been lost. And what I love about this, and when I read it, it is God that is doing everything. It says that God is the one that wanted this relationship with him. God is the one that chose me. God is the one that knew in the beginning that how I would respond. It is God that is reconciling us. God is our reconciler. I'm not sure I understand. It is God that is constantly bringing his people his children back to him. It is God that seeks a relationship with us, even though he knows we are sinful. God still initiates reconciliation. God takes the first step towards us, even though we are responsible for the broken relationship that we have with him. And then he reminds us, God was reconciling the world to himself. Jesus, the only source of reconciliation, is available to all who trust him through God's grace. Christian agent of reconciliation. That's God using people, whatever, a donkey or a mule or a bird or whatever it is God can use as an agent of reconciliation. We are challenged clearly that Christians are agents of reconciliation. In verse 18, he affirms that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oftentimes, we as Christians, we have that mindset, that attitude, I got mine. You got to get yours. There are times when we feel as though other people may not be worthy of being saved. I remember when I was doing jail ministry, there was a man that was part of a gang, and I met him for the first time, and he had some teardrops on the side of his face. And I asked him about those teardrops that was on the side of his face. And he began to share with me that while he was in the game, there were some things that he did that he was not proud of. And then he went on to share with me and let me know that he had gotten away from that lifestyle. But because of the past that he had, he was back where he was at. But being in the gang and dealing with those teardrops that was on the side of his face, he never did tell me if he had killed somebody. He never did tell me if he had shot someone. But he let me know that there were some things that he did that he was not proud. And tears began to flow down his face. And while he was crying and he began to share with me how happy he was that we were there at this particular time, sharing the gospel with him, because he realized God had sent some agents to help him with what he was going through. Reconciliation comes through the message we speak, the message of hope in Christ. Our words should call people to a peaceful relationship with, for we are ambassadors of Christ. Through him, we offer the world the great message of hope. All can be made right with God through Christ. And what I love about Paul and Peter and how they wrote and wrote their epistles and shared their experiences with us through the message of the gospel, we are reminded that when we accept Jesus as Paul and Peter did, as our Lord and Savior, and believe that he died for us, we are brought into a right relationship with God while our lives are still plagued with sin. I don't know about you all, but when I gave my life over, or when I surrendered to the will of God, I didn't give it over. Let me rephrase that. When I surrendered to the will of God, I could look back now and see how I was still a lover of sin, because I was so accustomed to that world, that lifestyle, that when my conversion began to take place, I didn't know that I was being converted. I was just going through the process. It was still early on in my ministry. It was early on when I began to listen and pay attention to the word of God. It is God that seeks to be friends with us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 11, Paul describes the benefits of salvation. He begins with the death of Christ and our conversion in him, then concludes with our hope and security that we have in the future. Paul made his first comparison using justification, which means that God declared we are innocent at the time of our faith in Christ. Since we have been justified, nothing can interfere with God's plan for our lives. This is why the Bible teaches us and let us know that Satan no longer have been a stronghold on us as Christians. Satan no longer can claim us as his because we have been reconciled. We are in a position now with God that is totally different from the position that we had when we was out of the relationship with God. And when I think about our position in Christ and our relationship that we have with Christ through the shedding of his blood gave us through his son, it saved us from wrath. Paul made his first comparison using justification. I shared that with you. Once justified, we need not fear any condemnation in the future. Paul helps us with that in Romans chapter 8. He lets us know that there is no more condemnation. And in fact, he reminds us that we are new creatures as well. Because we are new creatures, we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We're saved by Jesus' life. We benefit significantly from Jesus' death. You may not know that. But if Jesus had not died, you and I, our life would be doomed. We would be doomed to hell. Some people don't like for me to say that, and including my wife. She believes hell is a bad word, but hell is a place that has been established that have not accepted Jesus Christ. And I'm saying and constantly sharing with as many people as I can the goodness of Jesus Christ, because, and especially those that are close to us, that we are able to see. This is why it's important for us to conduct ourselves and live our lives that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that other people, we may not get to speak to them, that they may see the light and the good works in us, that they may be blessed by that. And with the opportunity, we are able to tell them, I am who I am because the blood of Jesus Christ. We benefit significantly from the death of Jesus Christ, which brought back reconciliation. Even so, we benefit from Jesus' resurrected life. Paul did not separate that various aspects of salvation by teaching us that some benefits come from Jesus' death while others come from his life. Because he lives, we live. Because of what he went through, y'all help me here, I am able to face tomorrow because he lives. While most people don't consider themselves to be God's enemy, Paul reminds us and lets us know that if we are not in Christ, that means that we are out of Christ. And if we are out of Christ, that means that we are associated with Satan. We are still under Satan's dominion. And if we, long as we're under Satan's power, that means that we are enemies with God. God, even for his enemy, most of us think instinctively of God as a friend. And much like us, yes, we act without regard for God's expectation of us. In so doing, we are, whether intentionally or not, God's enemy. Most of the time, we live our lives contrary to what God plans for us. Yet God still styled us, while and though we were his enemy. The Bible emphasized the truth that God accepts us and gives us his blessing. But this is only because Christ died for us. Jesus brings peace with God through reconciliation. And because we have been reconciled with God, then the Bible declares that we have now been made righteous. I don't know about you, but when I think about being an unrighteous person, and because I have been reconciled, I've been set apart, and my position with God has now declared that I am righteous. Y'all don't hear me. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 9, it says, thing that was gained to me, this is Philippians, I consider it to be lost because of Christ. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. When I think about this passage of scripture, okay, dude, I hear some clapping. I don't know what that means, but if that's a good thing, I'm going to keep on going. I believe I got to 9 o'clock. If I get out of line or in a bad place, y'all remind me. I appreciate that clapping. Well, I don't know where it comes from. But in Philippians chapter 3, it reminds us, it is Paul that wrote it. And I believe he wrote it to help us in these type of situations. Y'all give me a minute, let me get to this passage of scripture. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it or by already perfected, but I press. That is telling that we are to continue to press on because God has done something special for us. He has made us right, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us at the cross. And now that we have been declared righteous, it tells us that now we are at peace with God. Those of us that have not accepted and believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I don't expect them to hear what I'm saying. but I want to encourage those that are hearing me today. And I just want to let you know that because of our position in Christ, you have been made righteous, and it's because of Christ. And Paul describes salvation in Romans 1 through 3 and what God did, not me, but what God did provide salvation in chapters 3 and 4. He then turned to the benefits of salvation in Romans 5, 1 and 2 and explained what God does for us in Christ on the inside, where it matters. New Christians often expect wealth, better standing in society, and the absence of problems as a result of their conversion. It don't always happen like that. More mature believers realize that deeper blessings are those of the Spirit. Too many times we're putting our hope in Satan's system. We're using Satan's system. God is using Satan's system as agents for you and I. I love that passage of scripture where it says that foxes have holes, but the man of God had nowhere to go. But everything belonged to him. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm just trying to paint a picture for you how important it is for us. The Bible teaches us and tells us not to focus on the things of this world. Yeah, we live in houses. Yeah, we have God. And some of us, some of y'all, I'm not mean, but have a little wealth. And some of you are living in a society where you're looked upon as someone very important. But it really don't matter to God. Because when he looks at us, we are all the same. We're justified by the faith that we demonstrated. And because we have been justified, when we talk about made righteous, it simply says that now you're justified. And because we have, because of our justification, we are in a state of peace with God. We are prone to think immediately of the peace of God as our primary need. Everyone wants wants a settled disposition regardless of circumstances, but Paul spoke in verse 1 of peace with God, not the peace of God. And when we're at peace with God, even though we're still troubled on every side, struggling and these wars we're battling with every day inside of us, I'm reminded that every day I desire to do good. Evil is always there. But thanks be to God. This is why when we talk about the role of God calling us, the role of the Holy Spirit, and the role of Jesus Christ, every last one of them working together, where it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I'm being perfected by the perfecter. And because the perfecter is perfected me, I am justified. I now have peace with God. Theologians often call this a legal peace. This doesn't refer to feelings or emotions. Rather, it refers to a proper relationship. Establishing peace with God assumed that was a problem. As noted, sin made us God's enemy. And because of the sin that we we celebrated inside of us, but it was God that brought through justification by the faith that we believe that Jesus' blood that was shed on Calvary Mountain set me free from the bondage of sin. Now I'm standing in his grace. The condition of peace with God is also described as a state of grace. I don't know about you all, but when we talk about a state of grace, if it had not been for the grace of God, I'd not have woke up this morning. If it had not been for the grace that is extended to us each and every day, I don't believe that we are able to talk and to communicate, to see and to hear. It's because of the grace. Christians live on a platform of grace. Since God's grace is his unmerited favor, clearly Paul expresses the fact that we can't demand a relationship of peace, but that it is an application of God's grace. More specifically, we don't deserve what we receive. In fact, we attain it only through Jesus Christ and our faith in him. Therefore, God treats us as though we never sinned. Ain't that amazing? We serve and worship an amazing God. Why wouldn't you worship a God like that? We spend a whole lot of time trying to get ourselves together. And in fact, I remember talking with people that I know, and they often, some of them still do, say, when I get myself together, I'm going to do this together. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. But one thing this pandemic has taught me is that while we are here on this side of eternity, everybody's going to go to an eternal state somewhere. But while we are on this side of eternity, God gives us an opportunity to accept that I just shared with you all. It may have been quite a bit, but God gives us the opportunity to accept these things that he has for us and the relationship that he wants to have with his people. I'm so blessed to know that it was God that set me apart, and he foreknew long ago how I would respond. And if you're on Elation Radio today and you're wondering if you're saved or not, if you're wondering if God is real, if you're wondering if Jesus' blood still works, my brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that this grace that God gave to us over 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ, Paul revealed his own experience to counter those who tried to earn the right relationship with God by their self-effort. But he reminds us in verses 1 through 6, Paul was a model Jew. He had walked where his opponents walked to earn God's righteousness by careful living. But he says, all things lost in Philippians. He counted all lost. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I'd rather have Jesus in my life and go through the law and experience the suffering than to know that one day my position that I have with Christ has put me in a position with God and reconciled me back to God, set me apart, made me righteous. Now, I have been given a new destiny. At one time, I was hell bound. But because of all these things that God has done for us, we have a new destiny. And that new destiny is our heavenly home. And the rest God promised with us, a living hope, a guaranteed inheritance. Remember John chapter 14. It says that Jesus told his disciples that he was about to leave. And he said, I'm about to go and prepare a place for you. And that where I am, you may be as well. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited that I have a new destiny. I have a new place to call my home. I want to say God bless you all. Ask you all for listening. And I pray and ask that God's conscience will continue to be upon each and every last one of you. I pray that he will continue to grant us this opportunity to come together one more time to lift up his holy and righteous name. And for those who believe in Jesus Christ, the future is bright, even in spite of the pandemic, even in spite of all the mess that is going on in the world today. The future is bright and hopeful. We shall celebrate all we have in Christ. And let it be known to others in the world around us that he died for us. And he made a way out of no way. And he has given us a new hope. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank and praise you for who you are. We thank you for all the wonderful and marvelous things that you have done for us, your people. Keep us. Please, sir. Keep us. We know you saved us, but keep us with our minds stayed on thee, looking to you who's the author and the finisher of all of our faith. I pray your blessings over the sick, those that are afflicted. I pray for the homeless and the hungry, those, Lord God, that don't know you, Lord God. I pray that you would continue to use us as your agent and position us that we may be a witness to those that don't know you. And we thank you today for bringing us out of darkness to your marvelous light. We give you all praise. We give you all the honor and the glory. And most of all, Lord, I love you and I thank you for loving me so much that you set me apart, reconciled me, and then declared me to be right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Fine.
takes one more than a tangible possessions of this world. We're made by the master's hand. I'm a unique design, not just to work every day for a dollar, not to dress for the approval of man. The image of Father and the Savior, for with him I stand, with him I will remain. Oh,
I was created to worship
with my heart. Blessed name, Jesus.